Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Perhaps the most controversial topic of discussion in our day revolves around truth. Opinions often blur the lines of an objective truth. Streaming platforms, social media, and other public forums allow individuals to project their truths upon the masses like never before.
In the midst of woke, cancel culture, religious freedoms, political liberties, and social injustice, we attempt to search for and reveal the truth. This is Truth Revival.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Truth Revival. My name is Roman Hamilton. We got a packed house today. Very excited for this episode. But first, I want to introduce my favorite guy, Mr. Nationwide. Paul, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Rome. I'm excited for the day. I'm going to get to go up to Harrogate after the podcast and see my son. His team's coming in to Harrogate today to play LMU, the Rail Splitters. So I'm going to get to go see him. Hadn't seen him since, hadn't seen him since Christmas.
Wow.
So looking forward to getting to spend at least 5 minutes with him. You know, when you're a college athlete, it ain't like high school. You wait around to talk to him at the end. They're on a pretty tight schedule, so you got to get in where you can.
So for the past several years, all I've known is the dad life. And my boys this morning went with their grandfather on a quail hunt. And so when I woke up this morning and there were no kids, you know, nobody home, nobody there, I thought to myself, this is going to become my reality one day.
Yeah.
Waking up to an empty house, an empty nest. But I think we've still got a couple of years left with the boys.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'm not ready to lose them just yet. So I'm glad that they'll be coming home later.
Listen, I was 2 years away from that. And I thought, and it was starting to sink in, you know. And here come Bubs.
You may not ever get rid of him.
I don't know. He's wild now.
Well, let's go ahead and introduce our other guests. Returning from last week, we got Brother Cam over there. Cam, how you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm so glad to be here. I woke up pumped this morning. I was a little mad because I was going to be sitting next to this guy for a couple hours, but I can handle it.
You can survive it, right?
Yeah, I can handle it.
All right. So the guy that he's talking about, he's one of our favorite guys. We've been seeing Tony around town in church at CR events. Blessed to have Brother Tony Meeks on the show. Brother Tony, how you doing?
Man, I'm blessed. Thank you, brother. Thank you. It's an honor to be here to share the good news. It's, man, when I tell you the goodness of God and how he moves in a person's life with simple obedience, it's truly going to blow your mind. It's truly going to blow your mind what God can go down in the ditches and raise one up and what he can do with it.
Yes.
What he
can absolutely.
Do. It's, it's amazing.
We're super anxious to hear your testimony, your story. But before we really get to hear that, you and Cam are like brothers right now. Y'all just going back and forth.
See, now are you in? Here we go.
Cut down city. There's a lot of great energy between you two. You know, but maybe you could just tell us how you guys connected.
Actually, I met Cam at CR, and he and I have a lot in common as far as the way we approach Scripture and the way that God speaks to us. It's through the Word, but it's through like intellect and when he begins to show things. I remember when I first met him, he was still standoffish and hadn't really committed to the Lord. And I was like, man, that right there, you know, because he was where I was at one time. He would ask the good questions, and I love the good questions. You know, you because it makes you think, it makes you dig in, and you get in Scripture, and you get before the Lord, and and you learn. And I knew then if he ever fully submitted it, that he was going to be a good one. And he's what Cam's what I call a kingdom connection. You know, I know that God placed us in each other's life for a reason. You know, maybe it's because I didn't have a little brother to pick on, or I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's amazing, those kingdom connections, they change your life forever.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this one has for sure.
We were talking about that this week, me and another buddy of mine, and I said, you know, you got to understand, like, there's some people that the Lord uses you to bless them, and they'll never say, hey, the Lord used you, God did this, and they'll never give you any respect of what you've done, you know, the Lord used you to do for them. And then there's other people, and I take this to heart big time, because there's a guy that meeting him changed my life forever. And I told the guy this week, I said, hey, I will never not give credit where credit is due. I said, till my dying day, I will give credit to this man, because God put him in my life and it changed my life forever.
And that's the word. The word says honor those. Honor those that yes, God sir. Has placed in your path. You
Amen.
Know? And it is an honor. I remember when I first started meeting up with Cam, there went, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 months I didn't see you?
Yeah,
and then
like
I
that.
Saw him and I was like, I went up to him. You could see it. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord was all over him. And I go up to him. I'm like, you got to tell me what it was. Because I know, you know, that it's usually, it's one thing. You know, you step out in faith in one thing, and God says, all right, that's what I've been waiting on.
Yeah.
And it was night and day difference. I mean, his whole, everything about him, he just glowed to the Lord. I said, please, Lord, yoke him up with me. Please yoke him up with me. You know what I mean? Because you know that we'll throw questions at each other and we'll chew on it for weeks and weeks. And then we'll come back together and say, all right, this is what the Lord said. Yeah. And man, look, we've had some of the best studies. And and we're young as far as growing together. We're young, but
it's amazing.
Do it again, Lord. We're ready. You know what I'm saying? We're ready. We want to learn of you, and to have people like that in your life to hold you accountable, of course, but to push you to grow. Cause you know, he knows one of the first questions every time I see him is like, what you been chewing on?
Yeah. Where you been chewing on? Yeah.
What you been chewing on? I'm going to ask you, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. Where you been? Know? Where you been? What you been chewing on? He's like, oh man. So he knows it's coming. So he's like, all right, I better get you. All right, Lord, you got to give me something. You know, this dude, you're not going to leave me alone.
That'll make you live right.
Oh, yeah, I promise you.
It does.
Iron sharpens iron, baby.
Exactly.
You know it.
There's a guy coming on the podcast in April. He's a musician from Jacksonville, Florida. He does Christian bluegrass. And he just released a duet with a guy called Brothers yesterday. I sent it to you. Did you listen to it?
No, I haven't got to listen to it.
Man, it's talking about brothers. You know, when you fall down, I'll pick you up. And we're growing in this thing together. We're growing in this walk together, and it's awesome. And I liken it to when Elizabeth and Mary got together and the babies leaped in the womb. You're so excited. Yeah. You know, Joseph's that guy for me. You know, we've been connected so long, and when I just see him, it don't matter how long it's been, dude, I just want to hug, man. Come on, let's hug and praise God, we're in the scene together, and let's roll on.
Always.
You know, so
I don't know why, but I always get excited when I see Joseph too.
Yeah,
I'll pull up on him at the gas station. I'll just see him pumping gas. I pull up. What are you doing?
Yeah, he loves the Lord, man. He is probably in my 20-something year walk the most solid dude that I've been around from the beginning. I mean he's very faithful and he don't waver. You know, his eyes on the prize.
Mm.
And I love the fact that, you know, the Lord's so faithful that, like, he's hooked me up with Roman and these guys here. Everybody that I'm around is pretty faithful to the Lord, man. And that's huge, you know, and that's a testimony. You get around some people that waver to and fro. Next thing you know, you're in a ditch wondering what happened. but you get around some guys that are faithful. Like you said, what you chewing on? What are you digging on? Yeah. And next thing you know, you're talking about the Lord and you're about to shout and run. And, you know, it's good stuff.
Well, Paul, what we've been blessed with this podcast, and man, we've been able to make so many, as Tony calls them, kingdom connections. Man, I love that. And you find these guys that are just, they're laboring together, and they're working together. And man, God is building up an army.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know we keep referencing CR a lot. We just done an episode with Brother Jeremy Graham with
True Purpose.
And he's from Blount County, but like Blount County's not that far away from Monroe County and McMinn County. And like, man, dude, God is doing a work in our area, you know, and I'm excited to be part of it, to be partnering with fellow believers, and to have Brother Tony here today, Brother Cam here today. Man, I just feel blessed to be part of what God's doing.
Amen.
Speaking of Pastor Jeremy and True Purpose, old Brother Tony was up there Monday talking to them boys. Yeah. And they told me last night that it was just, that it was life-changing for some of them, that it was a true blessing to have him up there.
Yeah. Amen.
It was a true blessing for me to be there. Often, you know, God has shown me, you know, we think we are going to minister to somebody and we get ministered to.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit moving in your life and allowing him to drive. You don't really know what God is doing, but to see those guys, you can tell when the Spirit's drawing them and they're just on the edge of their seat and they're hanging on every word because they know that what you're speaking, you're speaking from experience and sincerity.
Yeah.
You know, right. one of the things that I'd always say when I would give my testimony is like, in prison, you know how to spot somebody that's fake. You could tell somebody a mile away that was fake because they was on the hustle or they were just trying to manipulate you or something. So you learn that. It's a defense mechanism to protect yourself. But people know that. They know when you're sincere and when you're not. And when you just look them in the eye and you say, you know, look, you ain't got to live like this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? God loves you.
Yeah.
God truly loves you, man. And he has a plan and he wants you to live the best life that you can. Mm-hmm. Let him show you what that looks like. Cause we in our own selves, we don't know what we want or need, or we're just so confused in the world that we live in. And God's like, if you'll just let me show you, man, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And he will.
I promise you, he will.
I promise you.
It's amazing. Like, you know, you go to speak somewhere, and I've had this happen a couple of times. I remember when I first started preaching, this guy called me to come preach it. They had a church in their house, you know,
I love that. And
I'm like, well, I don't care. I'll go anywhere. You know, that's the one thing the Lord's humbled me. It don't matter if you call me, I'm going to come and give you what the Lord speaks to me. But anyway, we got done that day and the guy's, yeah, he goes, yeah, you preached to yourself today. And I didn't know how to take it because I was pretty young. You know, I was like, was he telling me I didn't have nothing good to say? I didn't know how to take that. but as time went on and I got to go more and more and speak, I've noticed, and you guys can attest to this as well, everybody in this room, when I'm preaching, somebody may be getting blessed out there in the audience, but I'm getting healed as I'm talking, man.
Yeah, man.
I am getting healed as that word's pouring out of me. Mm-hmm. I'm getting corrected. I'm getting loved on. I'm getting every bit of who he is welling up in me, and it's like taking me over.
Yeah.
And it's the balm of Gilead for my soul, man. It's an amazing feeling and a sight to behold in that moment when you're preaching the gospel and you're getting healed yourself and there's 30 people out there listening to you. It's crazy, man.
It's amazing. Yeah. I've always called it, it's like the Bible says, it's the washing of the word. As you're speaking the word and the goodness of God, it washes you.
Yes.
Cleanses you.
Amen. Cleanses you as you're speaking it.
Refreshing. You know? Hallelujah.
Good,
amen.
Tony, as I was sitting here, you know, there's an old McCamey song. You ever heard of the McCameys?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you got to check it out.
Really?
You got to get turned on the McCameys.
Yeah.
But there's an old song that says, Trophy of Grace. I'm a trophy of grace.
Praise
and
God.
I was just thinking about you, man, your testimony. You're a trophy of God's grace.
Absolutely.
And you need to hear that. You need to hear that song.
Trophy of Grace.
You know, yeah, they're just a bunch of old country girls, you know, singing for the Lord.
Southern gospel.
Southern gospel,
I love,
man.
Southern gospel.
Trophy of grace and full display of God's love. So we're thankful to have you this morning. And if you would just, you know, share that testimony, that story of God's grace, of God's love, and just be blessed and share your heart.
I will. All right. I guess I'll start the way I would ask those young brothers in prison, because that's where my ministry began. God got a hold of me in prison. I would ask them, I would say, do you know where it all went wrong? Could you tell me the one decision that you made that changed the whole course of your life? And some of them couldn't. They'd said it was a culmination of a lot of bad choices, you know, here and there and there, and it formed the character and it got them. But some of them would. They would say, yeah, I know. And I am one of those. I know where my life took a detour. I know exactly. I made a decision that changed the whole entire course of my life. Wow. I wasn't raised in church, but my best friend talked me into going to church when I was 12. I got to admit, guys, it was for the pizza. It was on a Wednesday night, and they had pizza, and I was like, yeah, I'm in, you know? But I went, and it was in Middle Tennessee. I can remember that church. Listen here, guys. I can remember where we sat. We was in the fourth pew from the back on the left-hand side. I was two seats in.
That's when you
12 years old. I was 12 years old, Roman. And I don't know what that preacher preached, but my best friend was sitting beside me, and he got up, and he went and gave his life to the Lord, and I white-knuckled that pew. And I made a decision right there. I made a decision to not answer the call of God. And, well, let's just say I paid for that decision. I began down a road that was just, I mean, it was just turmoil. You know, it was riotous living. I got to own the drugs and the in and out of the jails as I got older. And every time I would come out, God would put that same man, that same Calvin, he would put Calvin in my path. I would I'd get out and I'd run into him at the gas station, and he'd be like, hey, if you ain't working, you want to come work with me?
Now, is Calvin the person that went up and received the Lord?
He was. He was my best friend, Calvin Phipps. And he ended up following the Lord, and he had a beautiful wife and children and a business. And he was, and I would kid him, not even knowing what I was saying. I would say, you know, you followed the Bible and I followed the bottle. In and out of jails, and I would go work for him, and then I would get back on the drugs. The repetition that is addiction, the repetition that is, I call it the revolving door of addiction. You go in and out and in and out, you know, and I did that my whole adult life, and God would just keep putting him in my path when I would get out. And it was a reminder of what I could have had, but my eyes were still closed at this time. I didn't know that's what God was trying to show me. All right. So, you know, as I go through the riotous living, it cost me my education. It cost me a marriage, a career, you know, all of these things, because you can't live in addiction. You can't live in that bondage and have anything else.
Right.
It robs you of everything.
Yeah.
Because I was full in. Anything that I've noticed in my character, anything that I do, I'm all in. And I was good at what I did. You know, I was all in for the enemy. I was all in for him. So, to say that I was consumed with it is an understatement. Nothing else mattered but me and what I did. And so I keep going in and out of prison, in and out of prison. I remember one on my first stint. I'm in jail getting ready to go to prison, and my grandmother dies. And I get approved for an 8-hour furlough. A furlough is they give you permission to go out and attend the funeral, and you have to come back in a certain amount of time. I get approved for this 8-hour furlough, Roman, and I'm sitting in the car behind the hearse that my grandmother is in, and in front of her is the police. And I'm going down through there, and something speaks to me, a voice I've never heard. And it says, you have spent your whole life running from the law, and in the end, you're going to follow them. You're going to be in a car behind them. And that opened my eyes. I was like, wow, wait a minute. You know, because it makes you think, well, everything you're doing in life is for no reason. If there's no outcome to it, it makes you start looking at life different. So that word opened my eyes, and I began to think. Now, I was so deep in bondage, it took years for me to realize that. You know, I'm not saying that, oh, it was an aha moment, and I fell on my knees. I didn't. I'm hard-headed. If nothing else, I'm hard-headed. You know, but
agreed.
Wow. Cha-ching. Got one, then he tried to keep him by the way.
Keeps you humble.
Yeah, Jesus ain't going to be happy. No. But you, all through life, God has done that. He has put a word or a person in my path to try to draw me back. The way I've always taught them, young brothers, I said, you know, when you're born, God has a plan for you, and it looks like this. And as you make a decision or a series of decisions, you begin to detour in your life. Now, God is going to place people to try to draw you back, because that is the goodness of God. You know, God has a plan. God, in his goodness, he's just trying to draw you back to him. It's all about drawing you back, drawing you to the cross, that you can make that decision again. Because God is a God of second chances, you know, and that's what he was doing. And in and out of prisons, in and out of jails, and all of the nonsense that comes with it, the destruction and things of that nature. I remember right before I got sent the last time, before the feds got me, I don't know how much y'all know about the system or whatever, but I'd got in trouble and I'm in court and I'm sitting back there and I'm waiting on them to give me a lawyer. So a public defender and stuff like that. And for the life of me, I've never prayed a day in my life. And I bowed my head. I said, God, I said, if you'll help me, I'll do better. That was my exact words, Roman. I don't know. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know. I said, if you'll help me, I'll do better. I'm sitting back there and this old man walks up to me. He said, you Tony Meeks? I said, yes, sir. He said, let me holler at you. So I go back to the lawyer client room. And he's like, no, let's walk outside. I said, outside? That weirded me out a little bit. So we get to walking through the parking lot. And that man stops in the middle of that parking lot. And he looks me dead in the eye. He said, son, he said, I don't know what you're doing. He said, but you better quit. He said, I just saw something I've never seen. They just dropped every one of these charges on you.
Mm.
You're fixing to go up there and walk out of here.
Mm.
I said, wow. Okay. I've been doing this my whole adult life and never have they dropped a charge on me. They make up charges, if anything, you know what I'm saying? But, but anyway, I get up there and sure enough, they drop the charges. And what do? I go right back to the life I know immediately, immediately. And it ain't 6 months. I'm in a federal prison looking at a 20-year prison sentence. And fast forward a bit, after I gave my life to the Lord, God reminded me of that I gave you a chance. Don't you complain. Don't you complain where you're at. Don't you do it. But we'll get to that. But I sign for a 20-year prison sentence. And while I'm waiting to go to the federal prison, I call home one day and my mama died. You begin to look at life different when you realize death is real.
Amen.
Well, if death is real, then life has got to be real. So what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it, man? Mm. You know, and I look back on my life, what am I doing with it?
Yeah.
Here I am almost 30 year old. I got nothing. Mm. In and out of prison. I've burnt every bridge that I ever had. I've hurt the ones that were closest to me the most. I got nothing, man. I got nothing. So as they're shipping me to federal prison, I said, man, I'm going to do different this time. I'm not going to get with those people. I'm not going to, you know, get on them drugs and all that, you know? So I get there and man, I'm strong for a few weeks. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, I got this. And I see myself creeping back into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Roman, I don't know who it was God sent to invite me to the church that night. I have no clue. It could have been an angel. You're in an environment around 130 people and you're in that environment for years. I was in that unit for years. You know, everybody. For the life of me, I can't remember that man's face. It drives me crazy. I'll know one day when I get up there, I'll know who it was. It might have been an angel.
Entertaining angels unawares.
Yes, entertaining angels unawares. That's a man. That's
could have been, boy.
It could have been. But I know he invited me to church over there. And I was like, I didn't second guess it. I was like, okay. It's like it was meant to be, kind of. You know, I didn't understand that, but it was meant to be. So I go. And what this church is a, they call it a REC, Residents Encounter Christ. It's a group of about 15 volunteers. They come in and they spend all weekend in this prison. I mean, they leave at night, but they're just like us, man. They give their testimony of who they were and what God had done in their life. You know what I'm saying? And it was all day. I'm listening to, they'll grab this cross and they'll all go out and pray for them. And they'll come in, they'll hold that cross, man. And they're holding it with dear life and they're praising God. They're saying, one of them got up there and he said, I was an alcoholic. He said, it cost me my marriage. It cost me my career. I had a wreck. It broke my neck. Almost cost me my life. He said, but God in his grace, God in his mercy. And another guy got up there and he said, man, I was a drug addict. He said, I had 30 something drug felonies. He said, but God intervened.
But God.
Yeah, boy. And as they're saying all these things, I'm checking boxes because I can relate to that. I can relate to everything that they said. And they said, but God. And they said, the love of God can do it. So I go back to that prison cell that night and I hit my knees and I said, this is my words. I said, I need help. That's all I said. I said, God, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. And just as clear as I'm talking to you, the Lord said, finally, son. He said, this is what I've been waiting on. Finally. He said, now let me show you who I created you to be.
Amen.
in that dirty prison cell, man. God wow. met me right there, and I'm telling you, look, just it the Spirit of the Lord fell on me, and it was so beautiful, a peace that I had never felt before, and it was the freedom that came with it. I don't know how to explain it. If a man could put it in words, they would be so beautiful.
You know, Tony, I think people have talked about the sinner's prayer for years. Like, you know, there's a formula to be saved. No, there's not.
Right.
And if anything, man has overcomplicated That's salvation.
True. Absolutely. Yeah.
The Bible says that those of a broken and a contrite spirit, that's who the Lord will hear.
Yeah.
And when you get to that place of brokenness, there's not a specific thing that you have to pray. But man, when you just in sincerity call out unto the Lord,
right,
he knows.
At the end of the rope.
When you're at the end.
Hey, when the jail was shook and all the doors were open,
yeah,
the guard drew his sword. And he said, hey, don't take your life. We're here.
Yeah.
What can I do to know this man who kept you here? Amen. Golly bum, man.
Even the thief on the cross just said, remember me.
Yeah.
You know, he just called out to Jesus, said, just remember me.
Now, I will tell you this too, Tony. You know, I've heard people pray the right prayer. They've said all the right things. And when they get up from their encounter with the Lord or whatever, well, they go back to doing exactly what it was that they were doing. And what we've discovered is they're not wanting to repent. They're just kind of wanting permission, I guess you'd say. They just want God to say, well, it's okay. And it's not true repentance, man. When you truly repent and give your heart to the Lord, there'll be a transformation yes. that'll take yep. place. God will change your want to.
Yep.
And now that's something that I've heard so many people say. You know, I mean, I've heard people who were alcoholics say, when I got saved, God took that taste out of my mouth.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to go back to doing that again. Or man, when I met the Lord, something changed inside of me. And we don't know how to explain that change, except it's God.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
If you've been given that new life, the old things have passed away and all things have become new. Man, I remember when I met Jesus as a 6-year-old boy, I was just a kid. And my dad was trying to get my brother saved. My brother's a heathen, you know, who's on? That might be you, Paul.
That's me. Sorry.
Anyway, my brother was a heathen. I'm just kidding. He's a great kid. He was 8 years old, but you know, my dad's trying to train up a child in the way that he should go. My dad was a deacon at church. My dad was a Sunday school teacher, and my dad and mom loved the Lord. They just trying to, you know, have Bible study with their kids. And dad was trying to get Lance saved. Lance was of age. And, you know, Lance was just staring at him like a horse looking at a new gate. Dad was trying to get Lance saved. And, man, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Mm-hmm. God was speaking to me. And he said, Lance, you want to be saved? I don't know, Dad. And I was like, Daddy, I do. I want to be saved. And, man, like, I don't remember what I prayed. Don't remember what I said. But, man, I remember placing my faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sin and believed in his resurrection, that if he lived, I lived also. Even as a kid, I don't remember believing all that, but I just believed in Jesus, man. And I can remember just feeling brand new.
Amen.
I don't know how to explain that, but man, if you've met Jesus, if you've been saved, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. And that's the thing is, like, you know, people think they're losing something. You know, but if you truly believe that God forfeit his life, that Jesus forfeit his life for your life, it's not a bad trade that you forfeit your life to live for him.
Amen.
That's the whole thing. It's about being all in. It's about if you truly realize what he did for you, then you're going to be willing to do whatever for him, because my life is forfeit. I have nothing. Outside of him, I have nothing. He showed me that on that prison floor. You look what you did. You had nothing. Now watch what I can do with nothing. Watch what I can do with your submission. You know what? He said, he told me right there, he said, humility is the key to salvation. Mm. When I humbled myself on that prison floor,
yeah,
he said, now I can work with you.
That's exactly
what it
took for
me. You got to the end of yourself.
Just humbling.
It's what it is, isn't it, Cam?
That's exactly what it is.
When you get to the end of yourself, that's when God can work you. See, Brother Roman, your testimony is a shock to me, because I don't understand that, because I think, all right, in order to have a testimony, oh man, you got to be delivered from this, 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 and this. You walked in this, this, and this. So to hear your testimony at a young age, you're like, all right, that's a powerful man of God, because he's walked through all of this. He did not succumb to the temptations and the things of the world that I did. So therefore, God doesn't have to bring him back from there. So you get to start from here instead of starting from here. Yeah. And that's powerful.
Well, thank you, Tony, for saying that. But on the flip side, though, I look at you and I'm like, man, he's got a powerful testimony. He's been delivered from all these things. And all I've ever done is just live for Jesus, you know? And so, like, it's like, I don't know what it is, but everybody always thinks somebody else has got it easier or better. But the reality is everybody's got a story.
Amen.
And when you embrace yours, your testimony, how you came to faith in Christ, and you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. It's took me a long time to just, you know, work some things out with the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, the more I'm around men of God, it strengthens my faith.
Amen.
Right? There's been times when I've been low. I mean, Tony, I've walked with the Lord for many, many years, but man, there's times when I got low and I felt all alone and woe is me and pitiful and sorrowful. But I think it's important to have men and women of God in a church family that strengthens you and that helps you and that lifts you up, Amen. You know,
being an encourager in whatever way it looks like. You know, when Cam comes crying, oh, oh, poor, pitiful me, I'm like, man, gird up your loins already. Let's go. You know, but,
yeah, oh,
I didn't,
zing.
But here we go. I might be a little rough around the edges, but we need that. We need that with each other.
Yeah. But Paul, how about you? I mean, like in your testimony, you know, we've all been given a measure of faith, and everybody's heard your testimony, how you come to faith in the Lord. But, you know, have you ever looked at somebody else's testimony and, you know, said, wow, they've had it better than me, or they've had it worse than me? Or,
well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're constantly analyzing everybody and everything. I mean, really, I mean, some people call it judging, some people call it analyzing, or whatever, however you want to put it. But yeah, there's always those people that you think, my gosh, man, they've been blessed from day one. They've never went through anything hard. From the outside looking in, they never went through anything hard. And then you look at Joe Blow over here, and you're like, my gosh, man, every time he steps out the door, the devil punches him in the
right
gut.
The face.
You know, and you're like, how's he do this? But every man has to work his own out. Like we were talking before the show began, you were talking about the video games, you know? And we're like, do you still play? You're like, no, I don't want to go back there and open that door. For me, it's other areas in my life where I don't want to open that door back. Every man's got to work his own out with fear and trembling. And here's the thing about it. When we're observing these people, say like Cam's going through something crazy, and I'm thinking, man, he's got it rough, and Roman's doing it easy. They both need brotherly love and affection.
Amen. Yes,
it doesn't matter if they're going through, if they're dragging the ground trying to make it, or if they're on cloud nine doing cartwheels, singing praise God, hallelujah to the Lamb. Every man needs brotherly love. Every man needs that kingdom connection. Mm. Every man where they are, you've got to be able in season to meet the need where they are.
Amen.
That's why it's so critical that we're in the Word and that we're listening to the Holy Spirit, man, and being led by Him, because you may need something way different than Cam needs today, Tony, you know, and Roman, you may need something way different than Tony needs today, or vice versa. And we just got to be subject to the Holy Ghost, man, and be led by Him, because He will lead and guide and direct us how to be a help, how to be a brother, how to be a crutch, how to be just somebody to be there to listen to whoever we come in contact with.
Amen. See, I'm just now learning the value of that. I'm one of those people where when I'm going through a hard time, I just want to isolate, get away from everybody, everything. Yeah, I don't want other people to know that I'm struggling, you know. And then, well, I started going to these CRs and these small groups and stuff. And, man, I'm telling you, over half the time before I have to leave my house, I will find any excuse I can to try to come up with a reason not to go, because I do not want to be there. I don't want to be around these people. I don't want to be fake. I don't feel like going in there and raising my hands to praise the Lord. You know, I just feel so low.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, those days I get the most out.
Yes.
Amen.
Of those services and those small groups. And I'll confide in the guys in those groups. Like we have a mutual friend, Matt. I confide in him a lot on Sunday nights at Englewood. I'll confide in Tony, like, man, this, you know, I just feel empty, or I just, you know, I feel like I'm not connected. And man, they, I don't know how they do it. It's like God just gives them the word that kind of wakes me back up.
Yeah.
And I'm so pumped up by the time I get home, I can't go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's so healing, man. And yeah, so I'm just now truly learning the value of that for myself, because I've always been that person for other people, even when I don't feel like it. You know, yeah, if somebody else going through a hard time, I'll be there no matter what. I'm a yes man.
Right.
And to do that for myself is new to me.
Yeah.
But man, it's so healing. And I praise God every day for guys like Tony and Matt in my life, dude. It's just, it's not day difference in my healing process.
Amen.
I think I think that is definitely a tool that the enemy uses is isolation. He tries to get us apart, you know, because I think it was C.S. Lewis that coined the phrase. He said, there's no such thing as a solo Christian.
Right.
Because we are a family. Yeah, we are a brother sisterhood. We are the body. We are the body of the church, of the body of Christ. And when he can get us apart, you know, and begin to beat us down, or even get us apart saying, I'm not going to fake it, you know, I'm not going to go in there, you know, then pride can take over and then things of that nature. And he uses those to continue to beat us down and pull us apart.
And sometimes, Tony, we can get locked in our own headspace, which is like a prison.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
You know, y'all were saying something earlier about guys, and this, I watched a video one time. It was talking about when men go to, you know, usually guys will say, hey, man, how's it going? You know, and if a guy says, man, I'm all right, which I've heard that so many times, I've said that, you know, I'm not really all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going through some stuff. And when I heard that video, it's like, when, you know, when you talk to a man, he says, yeah, I'm all right. Like, there's that's a dude that's battling with some stuff. There's a dude that's going through some things, and he may not trust enough people to be able to share what he's battling on the inside. Yeah. And that's the reality. We're all facing battles on the inside. I mean, there's just, you know, providing for your family, you know, loving your spouse, doing right by your kids, becoming the man that God's called you to be.
Amen.
You know, we're all fighting with the flesh, and we're all warring inside the flesh. But man, when you begin to talk with other guys and you begin to, you know, confess your faults one with another, there's healing there.
That's what the scripture says.
There's healing there. And, you know, I said this before. I don't know how many true friends you guys consider that you have, like brothers, dudes that you can call on. But if you've got five men, you know what I mean? Like, if there are five people that you can say, you know what, and you can just lift on, you're a blessed man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're a very blessed man.
Right.
And if you don't have five men, pray for God to send people into your life, because you're going to need those guys, and you're going to be low sometimes, and let those men lift you up. Now, Cam, I know you and Tony have been cutting each other down in some weird kind of way. Guys like that, you know, it kind of keeps you humble, and you can actually share how you really feel. And it's just in jest, but man, you kind of need that. Don't take yourself too serious, because that, you know, you can get like that sometimes. But anyway, anybody got something they want to share real quick before we let Tony go on?
No, go ahead, brother.
So you were in jail. You know, and you met the Lord, you met Jesus, praise God. What comes next?
All right. Coming from a young man that didn't know how to seek the Lord, didn't know how to grow, you know, I would try to get in my word, and I didn't know how to do it. So I began to pray. I said, and I was scared. I was scared I would mess it up, because I'd never done it. It was fearful. You know, it was very fearful. Anything new, of course, is fearful. You're in a new environment. And you don't know how to walk it out. And I remember praying. I said, God, you got to send somebody to help me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking out the window one day. And we always, because it's a world inside of a world. So if you've been in the system long enough, you watch the buses come in to see if anybody gets off the bus that you know from another prison, because it's like a, you know, it's a reunion. You know, you get together. So I'm standing there, and I'm looking out the window. And I see this man get off the bus, and he walks around the we call it the circle. They're getting ready to go to their unit. And I look, and the Lord tells me in that moment, he said, there he is. You yoke up with him. I look, I said, I don't even know this guy. I don't know who that guy is. Didn't have a clue. Never seen him before in my life. Fast forward a month, we end up working together. He actually works at Unicorn. I work at the wood shop, but he comes over a lot and is building things, and we get the building, and he's a man of God. His name's Spencer Coon. He's a powerful man of God. And sure enough, we get the building together. We get the man, he's well, let's see. How do you say this, Christian? He's a little rough around the edges, but but he was exactly what I needed. Yeah. And the reason he was exactly what I needed is because he is exactly what I prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God, send me somebody that will teach me that I don't be misled. He knew exactly how to teach me because God taught him
mm-hmm.
how to teach me, you know, and we begin to build on the word, and he gets me grounded. He said, look, this is the truth. This is God's word. There's no error in this. And I, when I realized that, I was like, I can put my faith and my trust in something that will not disappoint me.
Mm.
Why would you not be all in? Why would you not seek it with everything?
Yeah,
that's big time. Knowing the foundation, mm-hmm. you know, is the truth of God's word. And no matter if it's whatever season you're in, if it's in a season of experiencing the power of God and these moves or whatever, it has to be grounded on the truth of God's word.
Amen.
It has to be. You gotta stand on that because that's mm-hmm. the only thing that will not waver in the times at which we live. The truth of God's word will not waver. And he taught me that. He said, look, you get this word in you. You get this word in you. And we did. And we grew and grew and grew. And before I go on, let me say something that God showed me here recently. Most of his children mess up because they stop at the cross. Now, let me explain. All right, I'm coming from Chattanooga, headed home. I go to Chattanooga once a week for this ankle monitor for a drug screen. And I use that time. I'll push everything out of the passenger seat. I'll turn my radio off and said, all right, big guy, it's me and you. Me and you sit down here and let's talk. And sure enough, God meets me right there in the front seat of that Nissan. But that was a shout out for Nissan. Did you hear that? I already get some money for that. But he always meets me right there in the front seat of that Nissan. And we're going down there one day, and I see this minivan go beside me. And on the back of that minivan, there's all these bumper stickers, Route 66, everything's bigger in Texas. There was just all of these bumper stickers. And the Lord asked me, he said, if your life was displayed on the back of a minivan, what would the bumper sticker say? I said, man, that's deep right there. All right. So I said, let's go. So the first one he showed me was a child, a small child being neglected, a crying, I was even abused as a child. So he showed me that small child lost and just sad. He showed me as an adolescent with a cord or a rope wrapped around him. I began to get in the bondage of addiction. He showed me a young man in handcuffs, a young adult in handcuffs. He showed me a prison cell, all of these bumper stickers. And then right in the middle, there was the cross. And that's where I met Jesus. And he said, that's good, son. He said, and this is where people, most of my children go wrong. They stop at the cross. He said, now what would your bumper stickers be on the other side of the cross?
Amen.
I said, okay. So it shows a Bible open. Spencer taught me to get the word in me. A praying hands. He taught me to pray, to seek the Lord, to seek his guidance. You know, it showed prison with the doors open. I'm being set free. A bumper sticker of a family, a wife, a home. He said, no matter what happens in life, you keep adding bumper stickers. Keep adding bumper stickers because that's going to keep you seeking after the Lord, seeking after him. I want to add a bumper sticker every day. He puts great friends in my life. Kingdom connections. Let's add a bumper sticker. Mm-hmm. Any door he opens, I'm adding a bumper sticker. And that's hallelujah. Seeking the Lord. You know what I'm saying? That's moving forward. And that's what he taught me. I didn't realize it at the time, but that's what Spencer was teaching me. I remember one day we were on the yard and we just got through working out, and I was young. I was young in the faith, and we were waiting on the move to go back in the unit. And I said something to him, a scripture that the Lord had gave me. And it was something, I don't even remember what it was. It was so immature, or it was so young in the faith scripture. And he lit up. You know how when somebody gets it, he's like, he got it. And I was like, man, did I just teach him something? Did he just learn something that I said? because it shocked me. I was like, well, you would think a order of things, he already knows this. But you know what I'm saying? That's what you think. And then I go up to him and I said, do you ever stop growing? He said, never. Mm-hmm. That built a fire under me to know that I shall always seek the Lord. I shall always seek to grow in him. Listen, for somebody that's goal-oriented and things of that nature, I used to love running half marathons. I would set myself a goal to run so many miles a day for so many months, and then I would run the half marathon. I was like, well, I'm done. Now what? And I get stuck. So to know that you'll never get stuck, you'll never, you're always striving. You're always striving to more experiences, to know the Lord. It's amazing. It's amazing.
There's a scripture in Isaiah that talks about when you surrender to him and you continue to pursue him, that he will continue to prosper you.
Amen. That's beautiful.
I read that 2 weeks ago. I can't remember exactly where it was in my daily devotion, but it, you know, if you surrender to him and you continue to pursue him, he will always prosper you.
Tony, you shared a sentiment that I've felt for years and years, and I've noticed this in a lot of our churches. What people will say is, pray for someone to be saved today. And man, what a great moment that is when a person comes to faith in Christ. And we celebrate when someone gets saved. But that's not the end.
Right.
A lot of parents will put on social media, my child got saved today. Praise God. But you know what? That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. And so this is something that Paul will tell you. We've been trying to do something like this at our church. We've been trying to celebrate, we call it membership around here. You know, if you're a member of the church, you know, I mean, the assumption is if you're a member of the church, we want you walking in faith and being a disciple of Christ. Now, is it possible for members to backslide? Absolutely. But we want to celebrate years of service to the kingdom. Right. And so that's something we've been trying to do around here to try to, instead of, I mean, yeah, it's great that somebody gets saved, but the next step is becoming a disciple.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier about, you know, when we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, guys, I'm going to tell you what. When it gets in here, when God gets it in your spirit, he'll work it out. And it will be manifested. And people will see the good works in you and glorify the Father in heaven. They will, you know, the Holy Spirit will work through you, in and through you, to do good works for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So, anybody else got something?
Cam, you've been quiet for a minute.
Wow, Cam, you get the opportunity to talk and you won't talk.
Man, normally I just got to say, so the things he's been talking about, you see why I make myself be friends with him now? Like, he does have a lot of good things, you know. About him, he's hard to put up with his fake ankle monitor and all that stuff.
We got to talk about that.
But man, he inspires me every time we get together. And man, I'm just excited to hear it. So just keep going and stop looking at me.
So where are we at, Tony? I don't know if you're.
Spencer came to town.
Spencer came to town. The Lord put Spencer in my life.
Okay. And there's something that I want to add. I want to ask you about this. Y'all was out in the yard working. When Spencer came in here, man, and he said that he had an hour to do 500 burpees. Like, is that a thing, or was he just blowing smoke?
He did it. Now, look, let's go and clear it up. This was back in the day. people think in prison, people go to prison. That's all they do is work out, you know, and they get this prison body and all. We don't. A lot of us just worked out to try to stay healthy. You know, you have to understand there's mindsets in there, and there's two mindsets. The one mindset is, well, there's three, actually, if you really want to break it down. The one mindset is they're still mad at the government or still mad at somebody because they're in there, because they've not taken responsibility of their actions. They're a victim. I hate that more than anything. Quit being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's that mindset that never grow and they'll always be in and out. I was that guy for years. All right. And then the other mindset is the one that come in with maybe just a 20-year sentence that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Their mindset is, all right, I'm going to acquire the tools that I need to be successful upon leaving this place. Mm-hmm. This is a milestone in my life. This is a spot at which things change. And they're going to get the tools that they can, that the system provides or whatever, and they're going to better themselves and they're going to go forward. And then the other mindset is the mindset of the man that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. as far as
give up.
You come, you come in with a life sentence and this is your life. You know, that is a hard mindset for me to understand because I've never been that, but God placed somebody in my life that was that, you know, and without the hope of the gospel, without the hope of Jesus Christ, that man would have been dangerous because you know, you see those people in there that have these life sentences that don't know the love of the Lord and there's no light on. So you, as a defense mechanism or a, to protect myself, I would stay away from those people because they're scary, because one thing that they consider disrespect could cost you your life because lives in there have no value. They have no value. They don't understand the gospel, so they don't know that life is precious unto the Lord. So they don't, to them, you're just a problem. If you do something to disrespect them, you've disrupted their life.
Wow.
So to see, to know that there's people in there that have the life sentences and to see the difference, because you could see it, the ones with hope, ones without hope. I mean, it was night and day difference. You see the Spencer Coons that had a life sentence that should have never walked out of prison again, but yet he loved the Lord and he was standing on the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And then you see this other man over here with a life sentence that had no hope. He was nothing but dangerous and just, he was disconnected to anything. But as far as the burpees and things go, Spencer would work out, or we would work out together. You know, it was to keep us healthy, but it was also, you have to understand when you walk in the Lord like Spencer does, he crossed lines in there that shouldn't have been crossed. He crossed lines as far as different cliques, different nationalities, different people races, groups. Different groups. And in Christ Jesus, they would unite for a common goal, which was to work out, but it wasn't. It was a spiritual thing. They would unite because they were drawn to the love of God that was emitted from him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he'd show out to them young kids a little bit, but you know how Spencer is. Got to stay humble. But yeah, we would have fun in there, and y'all probably heard the testimony. He just posted something on Facebook here recently, giving a shout out to the goodness of God of what God has done in our life. You see that?
Yeah, I saw that. It was awesome.
Well, I was on that bench when the word came to him that we were going to work together one day. He turned and looked at me just as I'm looking at you, and he said, "Tony, one day we're going to be on the street and we're going to work together." You know, and that a kingdom connection with roots right there. I mean, with some roots. And things happened in prison. My security level dropped, so they shipped me off to Forest City, Arkansas, and that's a testimony in itself when we have more time of what God did in that. But to get back to this, we were separated for several years, and then COVID hits, and I remember we kept in touch through his now wife. It was his friend, but now it's his wife, Becky, and he got to go home. God released him.
Mm.
God released him with over 20 years left, man, and I called him, and he was so excited, and I kept in touch. And I remember walking the track. There and I'd made it back to the camp, and I was walking the track, and this gentleman comes up to me. He said, "Tony, you should go up there and put in for what they call the CARES Act." He said, "Because of COVID, they're letting people go that have 50% of their time done. They're nonviolent." I said, "I'm a career offender. I've been doing this my whole life." I said, "I'm a career offender. They're never going to let me go." He said, "I mean, it don't hurt to try." I said, "All right." I walk up there. And the Lord is my witness. I walk up there and I put my paperwork in. That man looks at me. He says, "If you got a home plan to go to," he said, "you can go home."
Oh, my.
Listen, talk about, I said, oh, man. Well, you would think a man been gone 11 years. A man been gone 11 years. You'd think you'd go back and you'd call your family and say, "Hey, I need a home." You know, because I have a daughter. I have five siblings. You know, I have a family in Middle Tennessee. Not one time did that thought cross my mind. Because the Lord said, "Let me make this decision because I have need of you in East Tennessee." And I go down there and the first person I call is Spencer. He said, "Give me 3 minutes." In 3 minutes, that man had me a home plan.
Yeah.
He had me somewhere to go. You tell me God can't open doors. God is opening doors. God is drawing people. And it's nothing profound. At that time, I hadn't even seen God's miracles. I'd never seen no healings or none of that stuff. All I was obedient. I would study my word. I would do everything that the Spirit told me to do through Spencer Coon, and I would just get in my word, and I would praise the Lord, and God moved on that. God saw my simple obedience, the transformation of my heart. Yes. You know, he created in me a love that it's unexplainable. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, and we'll get to the now testimony of my testimony, but I remember my wife, she said something the other day. She said, she made a comment. She said, "You love so deeply. How do you do that?" And I said, "Well, I was taught the love of God in a place where I was surrounded by people I didn't like." Okay. So when you learn to love them, and then God puts you in around people where, well, mostly the people you like, got him again. It's a lot easier to love those people. So it comes out more fully and more freely. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that is an experience that I'll always have. But sure enough, God releases me. God, he releases me here to East Tennessee. But right before he releases me, this Spanish brother comes to me, and I didn't even know I was going home at this time. He comes to me and he says, "God gave me a word to give you." I said, "All right." He said, "God is going to do big things in and around you." I said, "So I'm getting to go home?" He said, "Stupid, I'm not. You're going home. I'm talking." He, like, that was a given. He said, "You're going home." He said, "I'm talking about when you get where you're going. Mm. Be aware. Be ready. Be ready." And sure enough, God releases me, and I come here to East Tennessee. And this is how a lot of people would say that this ankle monitor is bondage. It's not. It's a nuisance at this point, but when I first got out, God knew who I was. He knew that I would have hit the ground running. I'd have been all over the place trying to do this and this and this for him. He said, "I need you to slow down because I'm about to put people in your life, and I need you to pay attention." All right, when you have an ankle monitor, you have a couple passes a month where you choose who you're going to spend your time with wisely. Mm. As far as going places, all I can go is work, church, and then I get two passes to do leisure stuff. So he showed me, he said, "I'm about to put people in your life that I need you to pay attention because it's going to be important." And he began to place people in my life. I remember Jason Giles came. I wasn't home 2 weeks. I was still in house arrest. And he came over and he said, "I just wanted to welcome you to this community, to this area, and welcome you to the family." Now look, little did he know, fast forward a year and a half, that I would be married to his stepdaughter.
Amen.
But all of these things, God came, he brought them to be. And you said earlier, you was talking about advancing. You was talking about it's time, God is building an army. He's building an army, and this is the word that he gave me. He's building an army to advance. This is what he told me to speak on today. When I first got out, Spencer was teaching me the ropes around here, teaching me the roads and how to get around. And as we're driving, I kept noticing something, so I brought it to his attention. All of these back roads, there is all of these houses that are abandoned. They're not necessarily in disrepair. They're just abandoned, like everybody just left. And God told me, he said, "The inheritance has been lost." I said, "Man." So you go to Psalm 16:5, and it says, "The Lord is our inheritance." Mm. Okay. Somewhere down the line, it didn't get handed off, and we lost it. We lost it. And he just showed me in a picture of the homes, because I think inheritance, I think, all right, you get the land, you get the house, that's your inheritance. But he was teaching me a spiritual thing. He was saying that they had lost it. They had lost the inheritance. And I am to blame, not necessarily here, but my generation is to blame because we dropped the ball. We were taken away. We loved ourselves more than our family. So therefore, the inheritance wasn't handed down. Mm. You see? So that's what he's showing me. He told me, I was mowing the yard, and I was mowing. And you could see at one time the yard was back here, but the woods had crept over. They just kept creeping over and creeping over. And I took that lawnmower and I took it back. And as soon as I went over the normal cut line and got a little back, the Lord said, "You are here to take back that which was lost."
Yes.
And I started taking it back. You know what, the lawnmower, I'm like, yeah, it got me pumped up. I wanted to mow the yard. But that's what he's doing. You know that, and there is, he is raising up an army.
Let's go.
He is raising up an army. Listen, I prayed a prayer here about 3 months ago. You should pray this. God, if you are raising up your army, show me what everybody's place is in this army. You show me what their place is, because everybody has a place. You know, if this man is a fighter pilot, you know what I mean? He's not a groundsman. You know what I mean? Whatever your place is, if you can realize what it is, then you know what weapons you have. You know how to fight.
Right.
You know well a lot better than I do, Cam, about fighting wars and things of that nature. So you take that, what you have learned, and you apply it to the spiritual. Say, all right, God, where is my place?
Yeah.
You know, because I've always, when I prayed that, Spencer Coon is still in my life, and God told me, he said, Spencer is a banner carrier. I said, banner carrier? What does that mean? The banner carrier, you would think, is the most insignificant one, and he doesn't even carry a weapon, but he does. He's the one that holds that banner up. When you're fighting the fight and you look and you see that banner held high, you're going to fight. It's motivation. You're going to fight harder.
Have you ever seen The Patriot?
I have not.
Oh, Tony. Make it a point to watch The Patriot with Mel Gibson.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a point in that movie where it's the Revolutionary War. And there's a point in the movie where, I guess you'd say the United States is being overrun by Great Britain, and Great Britain is advancing, and all the militia men and the Americans are kind of on the run. And man, Mel Gibson picks up an American flag and turns around and starts running forward, and all those guys, I mean, he didn't have a weapon with him. He didn't have, but he stood for something. He started taking that running forward. And of course, he said, banner man. And it inspired everybody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it inspired everybody else to see what he was carrying. And, you know, the banner man is often an inspiration to others and to lead the charge. So,
I mean, think about what it takes to be that guy. The vulnerability.
Absolutely.
That you exhibit. You're exposing every fragile part of your body to raise a flag with no defenses. You have no weapon of aggression in your hands to defend yourself or to fight back if anybody's charging you. All you have is both your hands on this flag raised above your head.
Yeah.
To have the ones that you're bringing with you do that for you.
Amen. Right?
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine. That's not my job.
And you raise that thing because you believe in the cause and you love the cause.
Yeah, exactly. That's
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And you trust, willing to and you die trust for in it. You yeah. trust in the word of God. You trust in that it's going to protect you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the reason he's able to lift it so high. It's because he has his foundation so strong in that word, you know? Amen. And that's inspiring, because we know that this. Look, it's obvious the generation that we live in. My pastor has preached for weeks on we're running out of time.
Yes.
We are running out of time. There's an urgency like never before. Mm-hmm. It's no coincidence that God is opening doors and bringing his remnant together in a powerful way. Yeah. You know, we see the revivals happening and all of these things. God is moving. Amen. You know, God is moving because the army of darkness is trying to overtake that which is his. And he said, no more.
Yeah.
He said, you will take back what was lost. You will take back.
Go ahead, Ken.
I think that's exactly why. So God put it on my heart the other day about boldness and just flat out listening to God when he speaks to you about witnessing to people, right? Yeah. Because sometimes I get nervous whenever God is leading me to talk to somebody that, especially if I don't know them or if I know them too well, like
that's rough too.
It is. Yeah. So God kind of put it on my heart. He was like, you know, when I tell you to bring a word to somebody, you bring that word, because this might be the only opportunity they have to hear that word, and you don't have the right to make that decision for them. Mm.
Come on, Cam.
You bring that word. It is up to them whether they receive it or not, but you don't have the right to hold them from that. Mm. You know, and man, you want to talk about convicting me.
What a great podcast today. This thing has been so
good. It's God. But Tony, you were talking about running out of time. guys, and again, I don't know how connected you are, you know, to the media, social media, news, whatever, but current events. But the enemy is becoming more brazen.
Oh yeah.
Than I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Like to hear things like, satanic worship, satanic sacrifices. I don't know if this is legit or not, but like, you know, Taylor Swift is the biggest pop singer right now. And man, a lot of her stuff is satanic and dark.
Yeah.
And to hear about some of the things that's happened in Hollywood and child sacrifices, child trafficking, you know, like we were protected from a lot of this stuff for a while, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But now these things are starting to become known. And I'll say this, we had a cockroach infestation at my house, several years ago. And when we called the, exterminator to come in, I would say, well, there's just a couple like on the, counters, you know, so just put some stuff out there on the counters. He would say, if they're on the counters like that, he said, that means that they got forced out of somewhere.
Oof.
Okay.
Ooh, he said, right there, I'll preach.
He said, they got forced out of somewhere. He goes, that means that you have an infestation somewhere else that's forcing them out. And we see these little things that's happening in our culture, these dark things that are happening. Yeah. And you know what? There's probably even darker things that are happening that we don't even know about. Right.
The walls are full.
The walls are full and infestation, and these things are being forced out and they're being creeped out. And you know what? It is high time for the church of God to arise. It is high time for the men of God to take back this land and to take back this country. And you know what? You know, I'm not going to go to Washington, but you know what? I can fight here. We can work here. And you know what? If God begins to move and God begins to grow, we'll just see what happens with it. But man, I want to be faithful with what God has entrusted us with here. And I'll say this, man, it's a joy to be able to work together with you guys. But let's not let this thing stop here. God has a mission. God has a plan. And I'm thankful to just be part of it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So Tony, do you have anything else? Are we modern day? We all caught up?
We're pretty caught up. I just want to say it is an honor, an absolute honor that God would choose me, that God would choose me to speak and to entrust me with his word. And listen, if you don't hear anything else I say, just guys, ladies and gentlemen, children, brothers and sisters, do not become stagnant. Push forward. Don't become complacent. Don't allow the enemy to lure you to sleep or any of that. The pastor told me, he said, in 2024, if you're a child of God, there's about to be some moves. I had a man and woman of God come to my house about 3 weeks ago, and he prayed over Danielle, my wife, and I. And he told us, he said, because y'all don't understand what bondage is, and y'all have felt cold steel bars, this house will be a home of refuge, a house of deliverance. He said, you know, God is going to be sending people. And God had already told me, he said, you're in a season of experiencing me. And I said, I don't want to miss anything. You know, I don't want to miss anything. So I'm telling you, God is moving. Please, guys, don't feel whatever your part is. Don't feel insignificant in it. Don't matter what it is. If God can take 12 fishermen and tax collectors and change the world, he can take a couple ex-drug addicts and change a heart or two. You know, it doesn't matter because God is advancing. Don't think just because your mission field may only be the guy sitting beside you at work. God can use it. God will use it.
Yeah.
It don't matter what it is. You keep pouring in, expecting the word of God to take root, expecting God to move. God, I did my part. Now you do yours. Hold him accountable. God's not intimidated.
Boom.
He's not intimidated at all.
God is on the move.
God is on the move.
Tony, we'll wrap up with this. So I heard an old man, I can't remember his last name, but he was an old preacher man from Howard's Chapel. His name was Barney. And Barney used to share his testimony. and he had a title for his testimony, and it was called From the Gravel Pile to the Gold to a Gold Mine, because he found Jesus in a gravel pile. You know what I mean? He finally just gave his heart to the Lord in a gravel pile. But he said, from the gravel pile to the gold mine. Do you have like a title or anything like that for your testimony? Have you ever thought about that?
No, I don't. From the pit to the pulpit, maybe? I don't know. I did tell them, brothers, though, I said, you know, if the Lord ever puts it on my heart to write a book, I'm going to title it I Smell Smoke. Because I was that close. I was that close that I could smell the smoke. You know what I mean? So, but that's the goodness of God. He said, you are a brand plucked from the fires. Wow. You are a brand plucked from the fires. And I praise God that he saw something in me. And I made a vow to him. I said, you open a door, I'll walk through it. You point me in a direction, I'll move.
Amen.
I'll hold on to nothing so dear or so tightly that it interferes me walking with you.
Yeah. Praise God, hallelujah, man.
Love it.
Well, yeah, we're blessed. To have you share your testimony, but also, Tony, your faith is legitimate.
Thank
you know,
you,
we
brother.
Can see fruits of your labor, and the Spirit of God bears witness with us that you're his children.
You.
And so, man, like I said, proud to be a fellow laborer with you in the kingdom.
Amen.
Brother Cam, give us some closing thoughts here.
Man, it's like he said, God is raising up an army, and like he was just saying, we all have a place, you know. Amen. There's grunts on the front lines, but there's also guys that have to feed those grunts. There's also guys that have to supply those grunts. You know, me personally right now, I'm in a season of being a servant, you know, and learning from the guys in front of me. You know, I'm humbled, and I'm so grateful that I have my own Spencer Coon sitting right here beside me to lead the way and to teach me, you know, and I've got guys like you and Paul that bring the word and show me how to serve in the capacity that you've been called to, you know. It's truly inspiring, and I'm glad to be a part of that, and I'm grateful for you guys, and I appreciate you allowing me to be here with my brother Tony here.
It's awesome.
Paul, give us some closing thoughts.
Man, I just, you know, you listen to these guys, and just the Spirit of God is just so evident in this room and in these lives. And you know, you talk about you're called to do this and you're given this position, but I don't even feel like it's a work. I just feel like it's my life.
Amen.
I just feel like I'm living.
I
know. And I'm like, what else would I do, man? Because this is it. I was talking to somebody today and said I wouldn't trade with nobody. I'm content where I'm at. The Lord's called me here, and the work is wonderful. But I want to touch on this before I do the closing thoughts. I went to see a brother of mine this week who he rebuked me 20 years ago. And it was one of the best things that ever happened to me when he rebuked me. And he's really in tune with the Lord. So I went to his house this week to get me some eggs because I ate a lot of eggs and he's got chicken. So he said, come on, son, get some eggs.
Good protein.
I call him Papa. You know, he's kind of adopted me. But he's really in tune with what's going on in the Spirit and in the Lord. He said, son, have you seen this documentary on this place called CERN in Switzerland? And I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So if you get a chance, you need to look this up. They have built this machine and they are trying to open up the portal of hell with this machine.
Wow.
And they had this, when they dedicated this thing, they had these people in the goat heads dancing, like they were sacrificing stuff. Dude, it was insanity. I watched part of it over there at his house, but they are literally trying to replicate the Big Bang Theory and open the portals of hell. It's insanity. And these people come here, it's their job. That's what they do. And they don't even understand what they're doing, because here's the deal. You have no clue what is in the spiritual realm, you know, of darkness. I mean, it's life threatening, it's life altering, and it will take you down a path you don't want to go. So if you get a chance to watch this thing and just kind of see what's really going on, because here's the deal. You said it best today, and we've been on this kick for several weeks. Why stop at the cross?
Amen.
Because here's the deal. If you stop at the cross, you're going to get overran. You're going to get overran. Because it's like enlisting in the army and never doing boot camp.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. You enlist in the army and you never do boot camp, and you want to get, and you get kicked out eventually because you're not doing what you need to be doing. You know, as far as, I mean, I don't mean you're going to lose your salvation. I just mean you're not going to be effective. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But it's so vital to know what's going on in the spiritual realm and what we're fighting against. And we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers of darkness, principalities and powers. That's what we're fighting against. So I'm not looking at a man and trying to come against this man. I've got to come against that spirit that's driving this man.
Right.
And unless I know the word of God and in tune with him and go further than the cross, I'm not going to know how to combat this thing in the spirit. And that's where we're at. I mean, praise God for the red back hymnal. Praise God we're coming in, taking an offering. Praise God we're doing a few Bible verses, and we're getting out in 30 minutes. But let me tell you something. The end of this thing is wrapping up, and it's serious, and it's a war. Right. And by gosh, if you're not equipped and you don't have the weapon, you can be the banner holder. You can have the gun. Whatever you do, whatever your part is, you need to get a hold of that and get in it, because by God, you're going to get ran over.
Amen.
If you don't. And that's the gospel. That's the truth. And it's high time that somebody has the umption to say something about it, because too many people are just like a dog trying to crap a peach seed. Don't want to say nothing to nobody about nothing.
Yeah.
We were studying in Peter here, I think last week, my wife and I, and there's a scripture in there. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. And I was studying this commentator. I read it and it said, it's like rolling up your sleeves, getting ready to fight.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. You got to be ready. You got to be ready to advance. Mm-hmm. Advance. We're in a season of advance. Lock shields with the man beside you and you move forward. We're taking back.
Yeah. What the enemy stole, man. Bring that inheritance back. Let me read the scripture and I'll leave you alone. I got carried away there. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Fired up.
But it's the truth. You know, I've been asked to speak at a funeral tomorrow of a man that I grew up knowing. And when his daughter called and said, hey, he requested you speak, I about fell over.
Wow.
I was like, my gosh. And I've known it since I was a little kid. But when we came in here today and we were talking about this, this just confirmed that this is what I'm supposed to talk about tomorrow. In 1 Thessalonians, it says this, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another.
Amen.
Yes.
For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one.
Yes.
This is how people need to see us. This is a testimony we need to give, that people know we have love for one another, and that we're continually growing in that grace and in that love more and more and more. Because when I saw this man and I saw his life, that's what I saw. I saw the love of God and the love for people. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. Love God and love people.
That's it.
Guys, I don't want to leave.
Been good, bro.
It's been a good show. And Tony, hopefully you'll come back on the show
anytime.
Praise
anytime,
God.
Brother.
Yeah, I want to hear that Arkansas deal.
I do too.
It's powerful. It's a lesson on obedience and willing to suffer for the Lord.
Oh, wow.
It's powerful.
Book him before he gets out of here.
Got to book you. All right.
Put it down.
And Cam, thank you again for coming back again.
Well, there is anytime. One condition. Hold on. I don't know. I may have to change the guy beside me when I come back.
That's an easy fix. But anyway, thank you, Cameron Fry, Tony Meeks, for coming on the show. If
you
enjoyed
guys.
The episode, be sure to check us out on Facebook at Truth Revival 37385. For Cam Fry, Tony Meeks, and Paul Chapman, I'm Roman Hamilton. We're out of here.